This evening we shall be doing some reading out of the book of 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. Before we look together at some of God's history, again let us pray and ask the Lord's help that we might properly understand his truth and apply it to our lives today. So let us pray together. Our Lord God Almighty, we are thankful to be here this night, that you have so worked in our lives that we desire to assemble together. We thank you for the fellowship of the saints. We thank you, Lord God, that we can call upon your name and know that you hear us. And we thank you, Lord God, of course, for the Holy Scriptures, for they are able to make us wise unto salvation. And so as we read your word tonight, words that were preserved by the Holy Spirit down through the ages, O Lord God, help us to understand as best sinners can understand, and help us to work out in our lives the principles that we shall look at this evening. Have mercy upon us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever said, or perhaps heard someone else say, with reference to a particular couple, these words? What in the world did she see in him? What in the world did she see? What's he got to offer? There's no doubt about it, she's going to work to support him for the rest of her life. And you know, I really wonder if this marriage is going to make it. You ever heard anything like that? Or perhaps we can turn it around the other way and put it this way. What in the world did he see in her? After all, let's be honest, she would not make an oil painting. And then add to that, as regards her personality, it's like talking to a wall. And again, I wonder if this relationship's going to make it. And so all of us here, we have witnessed or know something about a very strange relationship, a relationship that seems rather odd to us. And you have that term used in politics, boy, strange bedfellows. In other words, what's involved, you have someone on the right, and man, they're on the right. And then you have someone else, they're on the left, and they're really on the left. And so they're never going to get, but wait a minute. There is one issue. There is one issue that they both agree upon, and they're going to do their best to get a bill passed to support that issue. Oh, you talk about strange relationships. Well, tonight in our historical reading, we come across a strange relationship. And so we'll pick up reading in this 22nd chapter. We'll start out this way. And think about this relationship goes now 3 years past without war between Syria and Israel. And so as you recall, because of our past reading, there had been some wars between Syria and Israel. You remember we go way back into that 20th chapter and Ben-Hadad, he's gathered quite an army, and he's going to overtake Samaria, and he's sent threatenings to Ahab. And lo and behold, the Lord intervenes and delivers wicked Ahab. But Ben-Hadad didn't give up easily, so again, he regroups his army, and he's going to come, and he's going to attack Samaria. He's going to overcome Ahab, and Ahab really doesn't have an army to match his. But once again, the Lord God intervenes. And the Lord God, in fact, delivers Ben-Hadad into the hands of Ahab. And the Lord God Almighty wants Ben-Hadad put to death. But what happens? Well, Ben-Hadad is captured, and what happens? Well, Ahab says, is he alive? Well, bring him up to my chariot. And he refers to him as brother. And so, lo and behold, Ben-Hadad makes some promises. He says, you know, I'm going to restore some of the lands that my father, some of the cities that they took away from you. And Ahab says, oh, we've got a treaty then. And he sends him on his way and in essence says, God bless you. Well, we pick up here, 3 years have passed, and what has happened? Well, Ben-Hadad has not kept his promise. He did not restore the cities that he said he would. And of course, you wonder, well, why would you believe any pagan? He's nothing but a big liar. And so 3 years has passed, and then we pick up this. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And we say, what's going on here? I mean, Jehoshaphat is a godly man. Yes, he made some very silly sins, but lo and behold, godly men do make some bad mistakes and they do commit some sins. And so here's Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, representing a godly nation, goes down and he's with this pagan king, this king that is such given over to sinful. What is he doing there? Well, we have to turn and look over at the writer to the Chronicles, that 18th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And here's what we find out about that situation. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. By marriage, he allied himself to Ahab. What in the world happened? Well, Ahab had a son named Jehoram. And Ahab had a daughter named Athaliah, the daughter of Jezebel. And so here's Jehoshaphat's son, here's Ahab's daughter, they get married. And of course, that was something that was totally forbidden by the Lord God Almighty. A Hebrew was not to marry with the pagans. And so there's quite a few warnings that come about this. You could pick it up this way. And the Lord God says in verse 2 of Deuteronomy 7, you shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them, nor shall you marry marriages with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor take their daughters to your sons. Well, something's wrong here with Jehoshaphat. He allowed that. And then what happened? Well, later on, you can read in 2 Chronicles 21, 5 and 6. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done, for he had the daughter of Ahab as a wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so we have to be careful about the relationships. And of course, we come over in the New Testament. Don't not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. My, the trouble that can come upon a child of God marrying an unbeliever. And so here we have Jehoshaphat, and he's going down to be with Ahab. There's been a marriage, and in that day and age, when there was a marriage, it was more than just a union between a man and a woman. It was a union of some families. And when a royal wedding takes place, it's the union, the alliance, you see, of two nations. And so they're down there, and they're having a great big old feast, and so Ahab, he wants to bring up a question with reference to Jehoshaphat, because Jehoshaphat's a very wealthy king. Judah has a pretty good-sized army. And so he brings up this question. He says to Jehoshaphat in verse 4, will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead? You see, it belonged to Israel, and Ben-Hadad hadn't given it back like he said he would. And so Jehoshaphat makes that statement to the king of Israel. I am as you are, my people, as your people, my horses, as your horses. That's the words of an alliance. That's the words of a covenant agreement. And so Jehoshaphat agrees, well, yes, I'll go with you, but yet, it seems Jehoshaphat, he has a little bit of the fear of God in him. And so he knows it's a very serious matter to take your nation to war. It can be dangerous. It can be costly. A lot of lives. And so Jehoshaphat says, you know, I'd like to know the mind of the Lord about this. What's the Lord say? And so Jehoshaphat makes a request. Do you notice the request comes out in verse 5? Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. And the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into your hand. You notice they use the term, the Lord, 400 prophets. But Jehovah, something in his gut says it isn't right. I would imagine in some of your relationships, you've had a little gut feeling that something here just ain't right. And so he looks out, and yes, there's 400 prophets, but we might put it this way, they work for the state. They were Ahab's boys, really prophets of Baal. But they all say the same thing. And you notice they use the term Lord. And then Jehoshaphat said in verse 7, he looks and he really sees all these uniforms alike. And he says in verse 7, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? You notice prophet of Yahweh. I'd like to inquire of him. Don't you have one of the Lord's prophets here rather than one of your boys? And so the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there's still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat says, oh, my, my, my. Let not the king say such things. And so then the king of Israel called an officer and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, sat each on his throne at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. All the prophets prophesied before them. And so here are these two kings. They got on their kingly attire. Evidently some kind of portable thrones they set out at the gate. The gate was the place of judgment and decisions. And so they have on all his attire, they're upon their thrones. It's quite a sight. But while the officer goes to get Micaiah, Jehoshaphat and Ahab, they're going to get a little show from the prophets. And so you notice what is said. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenaniah, had made horns of iron for himself. And he said, with thus says the Lord. You notice he uses the word Yahweh. With these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And so you here have a sermon illustrated. And so he made him some kind of horns. And they speak about power. And so he's giving this sermon illustration. You'll take your horns, you're so powerful, and then that you'll push these people down, you'll overcome them. So the rest of the prophets, they join in, and they begin to shout that there shall be a victory, they shall be delivered into the hand of, you see, of the king's hand. And then verse 12, the prophets, they all say, go up, go up. And so here you have 400 prophets, and it must have been spectacular, and it must have been very moving. Go up, go up, go up! And I remember back in high school days, during the football season, we would have on Fridays, classes dismissed a little early, we have a pep rally. And you'd have the band, the school band, you'd have the little cheerleaders all flipping around, and boy, we'd shout and sing, and we would say what we're going to do, and we might introduce some of the players. Oh, it was exciting. And we were all pumped up. And so here you have false prophets. They're all pumped up, and they're trying to pump up the King Jehoshaphat. And so this goes on for a while. And so that messenger that was sent by Ahab to go and get Micaiah, he's trying to put a word in his ear, telling him how he ought to conduct himself and what he ought to say. And so verse 13, then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encouraged the king. Please, let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. Micaiah said, the Lord lives. Whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Then he came to the king, and the king said to Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall we refrain? Now, backing up a little bit, I'm imagining that as Micaiah and this officer are approaching where the two kings are, he has heard those false prophets. He has heard them yelling out, go up, go up, go up! And so then we go back, and you notice, then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, oh, go up, the Lord will deliver him in the king's hand. Why did I say it that way? Because I think he said it that way, or something like that. He said it in sarcasm. He said it mockingly. Why would I think that? Well, you notice Ahab's response. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Then he said, and so here we move into what we'll call a true revelation. Here's the revelation from the Lord. Then he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would prophesy good concerning me, not good, but evil? And Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. That's the prophecy. That's the true revelation. And somebody gets very, very angry about this. You notice? Now Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek, slapped him. Which way did the Spirit of the Lord go from me to speak to you? And Micaiah makes a prophecy against this man. Indeed, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide. In other words, when the enemy comes, you're going to hide and try to save your life. Then we pick up with reference to Ahab. So the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and bread of water until I come in peace. But Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, Take heed, all you people. And you know the story. Of course, we'll cover it later on. Ahab did not come home in peace. But what was said with reference to him while he was in Naboth's garden came to pass. But we think about Micaiah. Micaiah had a lot of courage, didn't he? If you stop and think about it, it can't help but remind us of Elijah on Mount Carmel. And so here comes Micaiah, and he looks and he sees two kings in their attire, powerful men, either one of them, a few words from their lips, and he can be put to death. And also he looks and he sees 400 prophets. They're all against him. Everyone's against him. But yet he stands and he speaks the truth of God. What was it that encouraged him? What was it that strengthened him? Well, I consider this, that yes, he saw those two kings, Ahab, Jehoshaphat, but with the eye of faith, he saw another king, a king that was way above those two kings. It was the Lord God Almighty. And he knew that he was responsible to that king. And that king had delivered him a message to give. And by the grace of God, keeping his eye of faith upon that great king, he delivered that message. Yes, he suffered the consequences. But he was a man who was faithful to God. No one there wanted to hear that message from Micaiah's lips. I suggest to you, and I doubt if there would be any pushback, we live in a society, they don't want to hear the word of God. Ahab didn't want to hear the word of God. Ahab got his own prophets. Our generation doesn't want to hear the word of God. They have their own prophets. We don't want to hear God in the schools. We don't want to hear God in the marketplace. We don't want to hear about God in the halls of our government. No, we have our own prophets. Indeed, they do. Oh, they've got the big know-it-all college professor. Oh, they've got their health experts. Oh, they've got their experts in sociology and in psychology. They receive their word, but no word from God. That's what we're up against. But yet, we should not look at that angry crowd. We must, like Micaiah, lift up our eyes to the great king. And he tells us that we are his witnesses. And he tells us we are to speak the truth. And in so doing, we are being faithful to our God, but perhaps there's something else. You're familiar with the story, of course, Pilgrim's Progress. And Pilgrim and Faithful have to go through Vanity Fair, a horrible place, like the society in which we live. But they are faithful. They walk uprightly. They speak the truth. And Faithful is martyred for his faith. Christian is set free, so he's going to go on. But, in that crowd of people, there's someone who has the name Hopeful. And Hopeful's been watching. And Hopeful's been listening. And Hopeful's heart has been moved. And so as Pilgrim leaves the city, someone comes up behind him, comes up alongside of him. And who is it? It's Hopeful. And so the pilgrim, he gained a traveling companion. And so by the grace of God, let us be faithful. And who knows? We might all gain a traveling companion. And we need some companions, don't we? Amen. Let us be dismissed in prayer. Our Lord God Almighty, we thank you for having dealings with us this day to reflect and to consider many things that have come forth from your word. And Lord God, that we might consider our lives in the light of that truth. And Lord God, we desire that you direct our steps in this coming week. Please give us wisdom as we will be facing many decisions. We desire to do that which is right in your eyes. And help us, Lord God, to ponder the ways of our feet. And help us, Lord, to be faithful witnesses. And help us during times when it seems that so much is against us, so much against your church and your truth, to lift up our eyes and to consider that the Lord Jesus Christ, he does reign. And in the midst of all that is going on, he is yet building his church. And then again, in the midst of all that is going on, O Lord God, make us your people to rejoice and to be thankful. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.